All right. Hey, everybody. Hope all of you are doing well. It's been a while since we've been here, but we're definitely glad to be back. This is one of your co-hosts, Dennis, speaking from the Long Island Gaming League, and you're tuned into the Long Island Gaming League podcast, where we talk esports and everything else in between. And we have a very special guest today, and we're going to get into that a little bit sooner. But before I do, Bruno, why don't you say hello to the people?
What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing? Not yet. The time frame hasn't been bigger than other times. We're back. We're back into it. I hope everybody's doing good. I hope everybody's been trying to keep safe with, you know, the way the world has been going lately. Hopefully everybody has had more time to start gaming a little bit more. Yeah, we're like Dennis is saying, we're back into it. We got a very special guest to introduce to you guys today. Who do we got today, Dennis?
We got, drum roll, please. All right, so today we have our very first sponsored gamer from the Long Island Gaming League, Mel, a.k.a. Twisted, joining us today on the podcast. Everybody listening, you can get to know a little bit more about Mel, what she's into, and we're just going to have a really good time. We're going to vibe out. So, Mel, why don't you tell people about yourself?
Hi, I'm a young female gamer, and I mostly play, like, first-person shooters. I stream, I make content, I try to be as funny as possible while keeping up good gameplay at the same time. That's kind of my whole stick.
All right. So, you're kind of like, so definitely, when we're watching you, you know, play some games, you got some good jokes that you like to kind of throw out there?
Yeah, they kind of come naturally. I don't really have a set joke, but eventually, maybe.
There you go. It's a good position. So while we tell the people, what games do you play? Like, so when you're out doing your commentation?
Right now, I play a lot of first-person shooters like Overwatch, Valorant, Apex Legends, a lot of PC and PS4. I also play some rhythm games. I used to play more MMO games, but now it's mostly with all the awesome first-person shooters coming out. Mostly first-person shooters.
Better than others.
Understood.
What would you say is probably your number one game right now?
I think I would say Overwatch, just because I think I'm highest skill in that game out of all of them.
So when you play in your Overwatch, do you have to help improve?
Sorry, could you repeat that? You lagged out a little.
You broke up a little bit, Dennis.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, hold on.
A little better. Okay. You're better.
All right. Good. Yeah, no, I had said, when you say you work on your skills, like, what do you kind of do? Do you have, like, a routine that you kind of step to get yourself better to increase your skill level?
Yeah, I do, actually. I use a lot of online aim trainers, but mostly inside of Overwatch, there are a lot of good aim trainers. I usually will go into the practice range for about 30 minutes, and on McCree, just flick shot and do a bunch of headshots. And then after that, I'll go into whatever aim trainer that I use, and then I'll do that for another 30 minutes, and then I'll do some warm-up games and then head into competitive stuff.
Oh, wow, so you actually do some real tight prep. All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
So she's like, I have to say, I actually put in the work to get good. I like that.
Well, most of the time. Sometimes I get a little lazy.
Yeah.
Well, practice makes perfect. That's what I was always told.
Yep.
It's not just playing. You always got to warm up. It's not good to go in. It's like any sport. You can't go in cold. You're not going to do good. You always have to warm up.
Nope.
Yeah, that's a little bit like me, too, when I go into Call of Duty. I always like to do 10, 15 rounds in multiplayer, and then I'll jump into Warzone.
Yeah.
Most of the times you jump into Warzone, you're probably the first or second one to die. So I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
How long have you been playing? Let's
Overwatch
start with that.
Overwatch or just like gaming in general?
Gaming in general, like basically, how long ago did you start getting interested in esports?
Well, I would say about 3 years ago was when I really got into esports. Before, it was always just a hobby, but I really just started practicing, and then I realized that my aim was pretty good, and then I was working on everything, and it just kind of stemmed from there, and now I'm a lot better than I used to be, obviously, with all the years of practice I have under my belt now. Beforehand, it was mostly just something I did when I had free time, but now I've actually made time to game.
Makes sense. I mean, it's like, it seems like everybody's same thing is like, oh yeah, it used to be a hobby. I'm still trying to find the first person to say, no, I started to play esports. It's like, seems like esports is not like, you know, your regular sport that when they go into it, they go into it to do, you know, competitions. It seems like everybody goes into it as a hobby, and it comes out to be a little bit, you know, the competitive side. It's just, I think that's probably one of the best parts about esports is that it's something so organic and so natural that comes to you. It's not like you're like you have your father and your mother saying you have to be a good player so you can get a scholarship, so you can go to school, so we don't have to pay for your college, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's why I like esports.
Yeah, I think the reason it starts out as a hobby is because the first few multiplayer games, you're kind of a little nervous getting into it. I don't know anyone who's just jumped into multiplayer gaming, like, competitively their first day.
multiplayer competitive is not easy. It's a cutthroat world in a certain way. I mean, it's always been like that, though. I mean, the games have evolved differently in a way that it's just been way too competitive. It's way, if you don't have the skill, you know, and you don't, if you don't like you do, you practice. So, I mean, even if you don't start out with the skill, with the practicing and with putting in the time, you get the skills necessary to do it, which is good.
Yeah.
Very cutthroat. Very cutthroat.
Always progression. Always progression.
Yep.
So with your practicing, so that you have Overwatch is your main game when you're just like, what is your kick around game? You know, where you're just kind of like, you know, you don't really put in that practice. You're just kind of playing, or, you know, after a long day, you just want to kind of have some fun. What's that game for you?
I think as far as first person shooters go, probably Valorant, because I have not done anything like competitively in Valorant yet. And because it's such a newer game, it's been kind of like, when I don't want to do esports stuff, that's kind of the game I go to just relax and not have to worry about being good at the game.
Okay. Got it. Bruno's a fellow Valorant player.
Ah.
I stepped away a little bit. I got too pissed off at the game. It's
a hard game.
You know what it is? I was doing good. And I was a part of the beta crew. I was,
me,
you know,
too,
part of the first ones that they had. So you know the whole thing, but it's just like when it flipped over to everybody, it just, I mean, one day that I was playing one night, it just rubbed me very, very bad.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that too.
Like,
it was a little different after
release. With the rankings and all that stuff, it's just like, it just rubbed me wrong. And you see the difference if you go play the competitive side, if you just play for shits and giggles. You know, it's very different, and it's just it pisses you off that you want to put in the work, and then you go to the competitive side to try to build up your rank, and you just get decimated badly.
Oh yeah, Valorant competitive is definitely like a whole different game.
Yeah,
people take that game very seriously.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I got verbally offended plenty of times because of that, you know. And it's like, it's like if you're 1 or 2 or 3 days without playing, you go in, you're way too rusty, then it's just, you're going to get abused.
Yeah.
It just rubbed me wrong.
So what do you got? Why do you guys kind of think that is? Because here, you know, we got the non-gamer here, and it sounds very interesting. So why do you think, I guess, with a game like Valorant, and, you know, unlike some of the other games, let's just say Apex or some of the other shooter games that are competitive, how come Valorant came out with such that as soon as it went, I guess, competitive, it had such a drastic change? Like, how come they didn't have like a blend into it, you guys think?
Well, I'm going to start by saying it kind of stems from CSGO. So I think a lot of the CSGO players moved over to Valorant, and CSGO players aren't really known for being the nicest people.
Okay.
No, be nice to us.
I played CSGO too. I love playing CSGO. There's a lot of toxic people in CSGO that kind of moved over to Valorant.
Yep. I mean, I think that Valorant was that from a, put it this way, from the perspective of a player that played CS when it was Source, even before Go came out, even before Go was even an idea, when it was, because I played when it was 1.6 and then Source came out. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, even from there to go from Source to Go, I noticed the difference, but I think I speak for the whole community, especially guys my age or guys, you know, guys that were playing. Valorant is a little bit of what we were asking in terms of you have the main idea is the same, you got the bomb sites and stuff like that, but you also have the nice visual of the game, which is something that although CSGO is beautiful, but visually you can't compare it to Valorant, and I think everybody wanted that. But at the same time, I can speak for myself. I was worried if Counter-Strike ever came out with something that visually nice that it would probably interfere with the gameplay. So in a way, I think it was good that they didn't do it. But yeah, that, I mean, you see all these pros. You see Twist. You see Stewie. You see all these guys are starting to dedicate more of their time when they're not competing in CSGO. They're playing Valorant. And eventually Valorant's going to be the retirement home for CS:GO players. I'm telling you, that's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's going to happen. You watch. These guys are going to retire from CS:GO and they're going to be competitive on Valorant. That's what's going to happen. And that's the day that I get out of Valorant for once. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah,
they're just too good.
It's definitely a lot more, I think, user friendly with the colorful visuals than CS:GO is. So I think that's why it has a lot more of a younger player base now. Because CSGO has a pretty old player base compared to Valorant, at least.
Oh, God. I that's true. It is true. I mean, I think I've spoken about this in other podcasts, that, like, the peak age for CSGO player before they retire is, what, 23, 24, probably the oldest player?
Mm.
Like, you go to Valorant, you got kids. I've played with, like, 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
it's annoying because you want to try to do the talk, you know. You want to coordinate, and then you have a 10-year-old speaking on the other side, and it just throws you totally off. It's bad. But I also noticed that Valorant caters a lot to women. There's a lot of Valorant female players.
I noticed that, too, surprisingly.
Not as many players female players playing CSGO, although the ones that play CSGO are probably at the same level as the guys. But Valorant is just, for some reason, I maybe because it has the female characters or more of the female characters.
I noticed that too. Playing CSGO, there was not a lot of females, if at all, in any of the higher ranks. But when you go over to Valorant, it's crazy how many there were.
I mean, there are a couple at CSGO, but not as many as Valorant. Valorant's just...
Oh, yeah.
I guess the playing field is 50-50. Very close to that.
So, Mel, do you feel, I guess, across the board that girl gamers are not represented? Or do you think there's a game that, I guess you would say, girl gamers kind of dominate a little bit more? Whereas, like, that's the game they're generally good at? Or... is Valorant even that game? I know there's like a whole bunch of questions, but again, like I said, just being the person who's not necessarily into the games, for you both to kind of notice that more girls were playing Valorant and on a higher level, what might be some of the other games that, you know, girls generally play that they're dominating in that people don't often talk about?
I don't know if people not often talk about Overwatch, but there are a lot of females, and I know majority main healers, so it's kind of different because a lot of the females who play healers are amazing. There are some really good female players And I feel like a lot of the ones that play damage and like tank and the other roles in the game besides just support go kind of unnoticed. But there are so many amazing female players in Overwatch.
Fortnite has a lot of girls.
Fortnite does too.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot. What's that girl's name? Ewok? She got contracted by, I think, what was it, 100 Thieves or something like that? 13-year-old girl. Just got a multi-million-dollar contract.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a couple years ago. Crazy. I think this was like 2 years ago. When Bugha won the world championship, she had gotten her contract. I don't know if it was 100 Thieves or FaZe. One of those two. Mm. Yeah, she's one of the top players.
That's crazy.
There's a lot of them. Even streaming. You see the girls streaming. Most of there's a lot of young. Not the older streamers, the younger streamers. Like, I would say no older than 16, 17. Mm. Those play all the time. They're playing Fortnite.
Really? Mel, are there any female gamers that you kind of like their game style, or that you look at as far as like tips on to get better?
That's that kind of funny because
a gamer.
I mostly look at male players, and I know that sounds bad, but I don't really know of any really good females players by name. Like, I've supported a few of them in the past. Right now, they're not really coming to mind because I'm mostly tuned into the Overwatch League right now. And
right.
A lot of the players that I take notes and inspiration from is a lot of the male players. Because I think there's only been one actual, like, Overwatch League female pro player, but there are a lot of female players in, like, contenders, which is, like, a step lower than the Overwatch League, that are super good. So I take notes from them too, but I don't know anyone specifically by name.
Interesting. No, it's very interesting because we have a lot of listeners, you know, both male and female who tune into the podcast. So it was just curious, but maybe as you continue to go and you become that player, some people might look to you or see how you play, and you can kind of be that name that they get used to or that they get to know and, you know, watch and see how you play. So, but very interesting to, you know, to hear that. And when you study, you watch kind of old video gameplay, or what is it that you look at as you're watching somebody? How do you analyze a video to become better?
Well, Overwatch, PC Overwatch has this really neat feature called the Overwatch League Replay Viewer. And I really like that because you can kind of go in yourself and choose who you're viewing and like who you're looking at. So that's how I analyze most of my favorite players. Players like Sinatra and Super, just really good, amazing players that play that game. It's usually looking at the way they position themselves, positioning when they use their abilities, all types of tips and stuff that they have. So it's a lot of just looking over hours and hours of footage and deciding what position worked the best and why it worked.
Wow. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm getting educated right now. I didn't even know that they had that type of tool. Bro, did you know about that?
Yeah, Overwatch has a lot more stuff that you're not going to see on streams and stuff like that. The actual game itself has had, I mean, I think CSGO starts to have something like that, but you have to somehow host it there's something that have, but it's nothing. Overwatch is a whole different animal by itself. You can't.
Right.
You can try to compare it to the games, but Overwatch stands
a league of its own.
Yeah, it's like Rocket League. There's nothing to compare to it. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It stands alone. I mean, there's CS:GO. Everybody compares themselves to CS:GO. Nobody compares themselves to Overwatch because there's nothing that I know of that's anywhere close to it.
Yeah, I don't really know of anything close to Overwatch either. And I think I'd really like more games to have that type of replay feature so you can go back and analyze your own gameplay.
Right.
Because there's like a free cam and stuff and you can kind of look at your positioning.
Yeah, it's a little bit like CSGO, but it's with CSGO, I think you can only see it while it's live. Like when you see
the
competitions, you have all the different views and the map view and stuff like that. That's different. Overwatch is replay. Like I say, it's a whole different setup. It's different.
Got it. Understood. I know we said it wasn't so questions, but now it's like I got so many questions. That's the fun part about not being a gamer. So Mel, if I guess in your own words, how would you describe Overwatch, the game, and like as far as like one particular gameplay, what the objective is? If somebody never knew what Overwatch was or how it's played, how would you explain it?
That's a little hard because there are different, each map has their own kind of objective.
Okay.
So I'm just going to narrow it down to kind of two different types. So there's like a point capture and a payload. So the payload, you have to usually capture a point or get to the payload and you have to move it across a map. And when the enemy team is on the payload, it's contested. And whenever the enemy team is off the payload, it'll move forward. But if your team is off the payload and the enemy team is on the payload, then the payload will move backwards. And whoever, they have to get it all the way to the end to get the most points to win the game. And then the capture point, I don't know if you've ever, I think Paladins also has a capture point system where you just have to get on the point and hold it for the longest percentage, so like the longest amount of time.
That's almost like, Dennis, like it's exactly, it's like hard point, but if I'm not mistaken, the point doesn't move. I think that's the, like in hard point, the point moves around the map. If I'm not mistaken on Overwatch, it doesn't move as much. It's something like hard point.
Okay. So that's from like, and then I guess payload, that reminds me of in Call of Duty, I think the one they recently did.
Payload's like capture the flag almost.
Like capture the flag.
Okay. Yeah.
It's something like that. Yeah. Like you capture it, you have to take it from point A to your base, and the other team, they get it from you and they bring it back, or it's a little bit like that. I think the old Call of Duty had something.
Yeah, they had something like payload where you had to get behind, like it was like the truck, the tank was moving, and then you had to protect the tank so it can keep moving forward. But if all the players
were something like
eliminated,
that.
then it goes backwards or something like that, and it stops. But
yeah, it's something like that. I mean, that's basically the idea.
No, I got it. That's actually pretty cool because
that's what I mean.
Those two games
I'm
pretty familiar with. Yeah, I've never played Overwatch because Overwatch is only played on. Is it only played on PC or can you play it on another system?
PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
Yes.
Oh, they all are able to play it. Okay.
And Nintendo Switch, I think, actually.
Switch, now you can also play it.
Yeah.
Do they do crossplay?
No. I think they will in Overwatch 2. They mentioned that they wanted to, but in Overwatch 1, no.
I think that would ruin the whole entire Overwatch thing right now. Overwatch 2, if it comes out with crossplay, it's like the Call of Duty. It will be that focus. I mean,
I feel like Overwatch crossplay between consoles wouldn't be bad. It's crossplaying to PC that would be a problem for me, because PC players would just destroy. I feel like because they're faster.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot. You have a better turn speed on PC than you do on Overwatch.
And they could put in more cheats.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm a PC player. I converted from PS4 to PC, so. But I'm not a cheater. It's just I do notice. When I was on PS4, I noticed a lot of the difference.
Yeah, no, it's really different. I go back and forth. Started on PC, but most recently PS4. But yeah, going back and forth, you'll notice.
Yeah. So you prefer to play Overwatch on your PS4 or on a console?
Well, competitively, I have to play on PC. It's kind of a mix of both. If I'm just like by myself and I'm not doing anything, like competitively, and I'm just playing for fun, I will play console.
Okay. Got it. Understood. So then
it's less buttons on console, don't forget.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Even if you have a scuff, it's only two more extra. Look how, on the PC, you got front, back, left, right. You probably have like 10 buttons on your left hand, and then you have the mouse, and then what?
Yeah.
It's like Call of Duty, but I personally, Call of Duty-wise, I prefer the PC.
It's
just a preference. I can do a lot more with the keyboard and the mouse than I can do with the controller.
Oh, yeah. Setting keybinds on PC is definitely a lot easier because you have that range of numbers and letters and all that. I found that I'm kind of running out of room on my PS4 controller for hotkeys.
Even if you get the scuff with the extra paddles, I mean, there's only so much you can do to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, that's, I mean, that, That's why I say it might ruin a little bit the experience, especially coming from the Call of Duty and everybody from console saying, oh, it should be cross play between consoles. They shouldn't have PC, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, it's eventually going to happen, and PC is going to destroy consoles.
It's yeah.
It's just the way it is. There's no other way. Even the setups, I mean, the response time on a computer is nothing compared to the response time on a console. I mean, you're dead before you touch a button.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do. That's also why I think why CS never came. There was talk back in the days of it coming out on PS2. What's two?
Oh boy.
they wanted to like. They were thinking about, can we come out? Nah. There's no way. There's no. And yeah. Back then there was no analog, so everything was arrow. So it ruins the experience for the consoles. But then you do have that option of you can take off the crossplay.
Yeah.
I thought crossplay was pretty cool, but I guess because I'm a console player, and I mean just my personal perspective of it was. If you're on Xbox and PlayStation, you know, that's pretty much all I knew. So regardless of PC, I didn't care what if you were playing. I just wanted to have crossplay so I can play with, you know, some of my friends who might have been on the PlayStation 4 because I would assume that the controller configurations are similar enough that you can play and you can kind of participate, and it's really cool. But I think the dynamic of when it happens and you take a console – and then you have a PC and you merge it. I keep hearing that story. It just to me being a console player, I'm like, huh, I never thought of that. You know, like to us, we hear crossplay, and it's like, yes. And a PC, you're like, okay, let's see how this is gonna go.
so trust just, me that us PC players love the idea. You're feeding us kills.
That's it. Yeah. You just like bring on the guppies.
Oh, it's total destruction. I mean, you see the difference in the gameplay. I mean, it's there's no comparison. It's just there's no comparison at all. But I mean,
that's majority reason why there's more of a competitive field for games on PC.
Right.
Just because you can't outplay a PC player if you're on a console. PC players just are always going to be faster just because they have more mobility than anything.
You
that the
can compete if you connect the mouse. That's what a lot of the consoles are doing. They're connecting a keyboard and a mouse.
See, in certain games though, I don't think that's allowed really.
And that's what they're doing on Call of Duty. Other games, I don't know.
Yeah.
Taking their keyboard and plugging it into their console. Yeah.
The keyboard and the mouse, and they're using that instead of the control.
Huh.
It's still not going to be the same as playing on a PC, just because of the power of the PC itself and the setup that you have. But it makes it equals the playing field a little bit. But I mean, you're still feeding. I mean, it's there's only so much you can do.
Got it. So Mel, so let's say for Overwatch. A beginner player, what's a good character they can kind of start off with if they wanted to get into playing some Overwatch? Who would you suggest or recommend?
So if you do go to like, there's, I think on maybe the Overwatch Wikipedia, it'll tell you which heroes are like, they'll be starred, and it'll tell you which heroes are one star compared to like three star. And that's kind of how we measure the difficulty of characters. I think a character that a lot of people start off with, like, I think there's probably three, Bastion, Tracer, and probably Soldier, because Tracer has a recall ability, and she's also super fast, where she can take health back if she loses any health. Soldier is pretty much your classic first-person shooter character, but he has, like, a self-healing property, and Bastion's also has self-healing, so I think those three are, like, really important for first-time players, because you can rely on kind of self-healing, because when you're playing at a beginner level, your support players just aren't going to be very good because you're all just starting out. You're all new at the game. So you kind of have to rely on yourself until you get up to that point where everyone's relying on each other.
So the characters are in sorted in somewhat of a tier, although it's not tiers. It's more like stars. It's That's basically what.
Got it.
It's a little bit like Elvis explained to us in terms of the of Tekken and stuff like that in Street Fighter. There's these are better, these are not better. It's
just, yeah. When you talk about the type of fighters, okay. Mm-hmm. And when you're competitively, who do you use and what is that character's role? Because I think you said support, tank, and who do you use, Mel? Like, who's your go-to?
So I am a flex player, which means I can play tank, support, or DPS depending on what my team needs. So I, at this point in time, I can comfortably say I'm at a pretty good level with, like, everyone who I play in Overwatch. Like, I can – people can tell me what character that they want me to play, and I'll do a pretty good job at it.
So you almost think, like a clutch player.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, that being that you're not – that you play well with every character, that's a little bit like a handicap, being like most players are – I'm – excellent with this guy, I don't care about anybody else. I mean, do you think you're in a little bit of a disadvantage in terms of everybody else, or you think are you notice that you're in an equal level?
Well, not really, because I do have some characters that I'm like really good at, okay, and some that I'm not so good at. But people who kind of one trick is what it's called, they mm-hmm. don't really have the option of being flexible. So if someone takes their character or they can't play that character for some reason at that point in time, they're kind of out of options. So I think it's good to have. Okay. Multiple characters under your belt, at least.
So who's your best character, like your go-to? You got, I guess, the most kill death ratio or tactics with, who's that player?
Probably Genji. He's a projectile hero and his ultimate is like a sword and it kind of two hits people, but you have to be in like melee-ish range. But I think he's probably my best hero, even though I'm not that good with projectiles. I kind of fell in love with the style of his projectiles.
Okay. So you like the melee? That's usually when you're up and close on them, when you really roll up on somebody. Okay, watch out for you.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so what's your favorite character on Valorant? Let me see what your comparison.
Well, I'm a Viper main on Valorant, actually.
Why will the girl Viper? Why?
Well, I'm a Viper and a Phoenix main. I started maining Phoenix. I'm both. I love both of them equally.
Yeah, because like Viper wasn't yeah, at the beginning everybody was more Phoenix because it was easier to play. I gotcha. I mean, I myself is a Brimstone and everybody.
Oh really?
Hates it. Oh
yes. I have not actually played Brimstone very often. Played a few times, but
only problem with Brimstone and one of his things is just useless. He has this thing that he throws a beacon on the floor that gives you rapid fire. I mean, it's useless.
Yeah.
They could have put something else a little better.
Just start shooting.
It literally is. It gives you an area on the floor that any of your players that are standing on top of gives you rapid fire. But I mean, it's close quarters. It's not open field. It's not like Call of Duty. It's like a Counter-Strike kind of map. So rapid fire is not going to do nothing for you. So I think that's a waste in terms of everybody has all of your specials and ults. That one is just a waste. I never even use it.
That's too funny.
No, it's unfortunate. I like him just because, you know, his specialty, when it hits, like I have had a 5-kill with it.
Really?
I try every time. I mean, I've had fours, I've had a five once in a while, but it's not easy.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever mastered it that well.
Then again, coming from Counter-Strike, it's the whole thing of getting the information. Like, you're going to pay attention to the steps and you're going to pay attention to the call-outs from the other characters. So you know, okay, I got three of them coming long. Maybe one coming through hookah or coming through short. Let me hit long. At least I can get a three piece. It's the same thing. That's why it also works good for me, because I still have that whole CS:GO background of let me get the information first, so I know where all these guys are.
Yeah.
Got it. So Mel, when it comes to Overwatch and you're competing, and again, it's just coming from the people who may not necessarily know. Is there like you compete in a certain type of match, and that's the overall competition? So let's just say if it's Hardpoint, or I forgot the name of you said it,
do you just compete against different teams on that one thing, or is it like a competition and you'll have different mini objectives within that competition to be ruled the best team? Like, how do the competitions work in Overwatch?
So the point system is a little weird. And if you watch, like, Overwatch League for the first time, you'll realize how confusing the point system really is. Because if you don't play the game, looking at the competitive point system, you're going to be like, wait, why are they doing that? That's a little weird.
Yes.
So you have kind of, like, rounds that you play in competitive. So it's pretty much random unless whoever is your, like, team manager assigns maps, which rarely happens. It's usually just random. Okay. It's payload and control. So whatever map it is determines whatever, like, what's your objective for the game. And there are kind of different heroes that you should play if it's, like, payload or if it's, like, control point. There's all types of different things that play into the point system, and it's a little confusing.
Gotcha. But it goes based off of the round. So it can interchange the objectives, but, you know, it depends how many rounds your team wins to be determined the winner of that match, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood.
Yeah, it's a little bit like CSGO again. Once again, here we go. But the whole, the map dictates what it is, because it's not like you have one map that you can do everything. You have one map which is bomb site. You have another map, which is like Italy, that you save, that you have to save the
hostage maps.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's okay. It's not like Call of Duty. That Call of Duty, you can do search and destroy. You can do on the maps. You can do everything on every map. No, maps have they're specific for each type.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So it keeps you engaged, because, or I guess it gives the other team the opportunity to kind of, you know, win back or do something, because it might have been a map that they're extremely good at or they're really well, and then they change it up. So now you can recoup if you lost that other round. Right. You're playing a different style game. You can kind of re-strategize how you want to approach it. So it sounds pretty cool.
You're going to pick the maps that your team plays better at.
Yeah.
Same thing as CSGO. When you go competitive, it's like each team blocks a certain amount of maps, and basically each team knows what the other team is better. So, like, if I'm good at Dust 2, the other team's going to block me, and they're going to try to put their best. But then the only difference is sometimes that most of the teams are good at roughly almost all the same maps. So, I mean,
right.
But you're still going to block.
So it levels it out.
Yeah, you're still going to block whatever the other team is good at. I mean, that's just almost the same thing.
Got it.
So in the Overwatch League, right now what they're doing is the losing team gets to pick the map. So if they lost that round, they'll usually pick a map that they're good at or that the enemy team is bad at. So that it kind of gives the losing team, like, an advantage.
Okay, like a handicap or something like that. Okay.
We do that occasionally, not all the time, though, because that takes a lot of, like, thinking for our team to kind of study what the enemy team is doing. And we don't always know far ahead of who, like, we're going up against. Like, we're not going to know until, like, a week before we're actually going up against them. So we don't really have a lot of time to prepare what maps the enemy team is bad at, because we don't really have that liberty of knowing who we're going up, like, months ahead.
But you pick the maps as you go in the tournament. It's not like CSGO, right? Like, at the beginning, before you're competing, you say what maps you want, what maps you don't want. You pick them as you go, right?
Well, we do, but for the most part, we just play on random maps, so it's kind of, you have to learn to be pretty decent at all of them. But when we do map picking, it's usually right at the beginning of the fight, we'll say, okay, the enemy team is bad at this map, so let's pick this map for whatever round we're inevitably going to lose. So that's kind of how it goes.
Okay.
So how often do you?
I never
teams?
Played it, so it's different. I'm just thinking what I see. That's all.
And how often, Mel, do you and your team, I guess, would you say, practice leading up to a competition?
So when about, like, 3 weeks before a competition, we're expected to do, like, weekly stuff on our own, which I do anyways because I love the game. So it's not like I just take time off. Some of the guys on my team do, and I always yell at them for that. But about 3 weeks before the tournament, it's 7 hours a day every day of just scrimming over and over on different maps.
That's like full-time job right there.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect once again.
Yeah.
It's not just playing by yourself. You're playing as a team, so you have to put in the time.
And do you find randoms? Like, how do you choose, I guess, you compete or scrimmage against the computer and put, like, a level hard, or do you find randoms and compete against? Like, how do you guys, your scrims work?
So, with scrimming, we usually go up against other teams that are kind of, like, teams that we know. And we don't really take them as seriously because it's more of practicing, trying to find out what heroes would work better than others. So, it's a lot of hero switching, a lot of not being too sure what position we're supposed to be in. And that, it's a little awkward, like, the first few scrims. But after a while, it gets a little, like, easier after a few days, usually. But, yeah, it's a lot of just figuring out what works. Because the meta for Overwatch changes all the time. Because there's constantly hero patches that will change, like, that will nerf or buff a hero. So you're always kind of trying to see what's the meta, who should we play this year, who's going to be best for this tournament.
Right. And how do you guys, I guess, how do you find the team to scrimmage? Is there like a dashboard or like a scoreboard where you can like send the other team a message and say, hey, on this week, do you guys want to scrim? Or is that kind of pre-selected for you?
It's kind of pre-selected. Like there's a website and our team manager, whoever's like managing us usually selects someone from the website who is also free and looking for someone to scrim with. And it usually rotates, so whoever wins will go up against the winning team of whatever scrim the other team had, and it's just a lot of rotating around.
All right. Interesting. This is interesting to see how, because there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of logistics that, you know, go into this, you know, because again, it's just from when people hear esports and they're thinking about, oh, you know, it's just a bunch of video games, but logistically, even from players not being in the same time zones, being, you know, everybody have a different schedules, the amount of work that goes into, okay, your team has to set up to schedule. It's five players, correct, on a Overwatch team?
Six players.
Six. So you got to get six players to schedule, to scrimmage at the same time against another six players, all of which who may be in another place, you know, in the world, in the country, getting ready to play in a competition that you got to wait till everybody qualifies. And there's so many, I'm assuming there's a lot of different Overwatch teams. So I think that that's something that is not often talked about, that logistically it's not just gaming. You know, everybody has to be dedicated and really care or have a passion for playing esports, because that's a lot. It's not like a casual player like me. There's no logistics at all other than getting up, pushing a button, and seeing who pops up, you know. But when you take it a little bit more seriously, you know, that's really cool. And I'm glad you kind of shared that with our listeners.
Yeah. And we have one guy on our team from Japan. So that's been a little rough. For tournaments, we usually fly him in.
That time frame must be a little screwed up.
It is a little screwed up. And it's like, obviously, we can't have our team playing at like 4 a.m. in the morning, because then we'll all be tired and dead and we won't be as good.
Right, right.
So it's a little tough, but we do fly him in to Las Vegas whenever we do tournaments. Obviously, we've only done that once, because as soon as we started doing that, Corona hit. So we've just been doing online for now, but that's also been pretty difficult with time zones.
Right. Now, do you guys, and it's probably a weird question, do you guys play for cash prize pools, like if you win a tournament, or what are usually the incentives that you guys decide to put in that time and effort to compete?
There are some tournaments that we do that are like cash pools. The tournaments that we do within our, like the other teams, like I said, on that website where we have all of those, like, I think there's 12 teams on there, maybe more, maybe less, I don't remember. But there's sometimes a cash pool. Mostly the cash pools stem from like 1v1s, because it's hard to get like to split the money among six people. So a lot of 3v3s and 1v1s is where most of the like prize pools come out of. But yeah, most of the tournaments we do for fun, because we love it.
All right. Nah, that's cool. Bruno, do you have any more questions? Because, I mean, Mel has been very nice in chatting with us. We don't want to hold up too much more of her time. But do you have any other questions?
No, I think everything's been pretty much, I mean, we hit everything on the nail, on the head, you know?
All right. Well, Mel, was there anything you'd like to say to the listeners before we get off? Maybe just kind of how they can find you, follow you, anything you got coming up, how they could support, etc.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I do have a Twitch. It's Twisted Vision TV. And we just started scrimming for a tournament in a few weeks. So there's that. That'll be streamed on my Twitch. Not sure the specific day yet, but they'll let us know next week. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, listen, that's it. I mean, well, I'm sure everybody's going to be hearing and seeing a lot more of you. So glad that you gave them a way to find you. And we're also welcome to, you know, glad to have you really come and join the Long Island Gaming League team. So just having or hearing the excitement, your knowledge about Overwatch, you know, it's just very refreshing. Again, for those who know the industry, and then for those who are like myself, who don't really know that much, it was great to kind of listen and just enjoy.
Yeah, it was really great to be here, actually. It's kind of nice to, like, be able to actually, like, talk about it, because I don't really get a lot of, like, platforms where I get to actually talk about what the esports industry is really like. Because, yeah, you talk about there's so much logistics that, like, go into playing this game. It's more than just a game to us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. You got a platform here, so.
Yes, you're more than welcome to come on anytime. Any of your fellow teammates, if you guys ever want to just kind of jump on and chop it up, maybe talk smack about the other team you're going against, you know, you definitely have the platform. So.
Oh, we can definitely do that. I mean, we talk smack amongst ourselves inside of the league, so don't worry about it. It's normal.
We do that sometimes too.
Yeah. So there's always some smack talk.
Oh yeah.
All right, everybody. Again, this is Dennis, one of the co-hosts for the Long Island Gaming League podcast. We very much are glad you tuned in to Mel, aka Twisted, plays Overwatch, and of course we have Bruno. So Bruno, you want to say your last words before I close it out?
I just want everybody to know we have a couple of more things coming up. Stay tuned. Everything will be soon. Have a couple of things set up, so keep your eyes open. Keep on watching our posts, and we have a couple of more interviews and, you know, things like that coming up. So we're around. We haven't forgotten about you, and we thank you for supporting us and staying by our side during these times. And I just hope everybody stays safe out there and just watch out for each other.
All right. Well, listen, everybody, he pretty much said it all. So all I'm going to say is just make sure you follow us at Long Island, at LI Gaming League on Instagram, at LI Gaming League on Twitter, and www.longislandgamingleague.com/membership is where you can find anything that is Long Island Gaming League based. And make sure you stay tuned and keep your eyes out for Twisted, because we're going to be sharing a lot of our information coming on. All right, everybody, until the next episode, enjoy.